Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 565. It's the 22nd of August, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Eric Shear, CEO of MySquare. It's a very interesting story, MySquare. The ticker, by the way, is MYSQ. It's a social media platform in the Republic of Myanmar. Now, if you're not heard of Myanmar, it is formerly Burma. But it's just, as Myanmar, it's opened up its borders, basically, to commerciality. And so it's a whole, I mean, a population around 50 million. There's a whole country there open to commerce. And they're in a very exciting space, not only in social media, but in this country, Myanmar. So it's worth listening to the interview with Eric and some very interesting figures coming out about their platform and also about the new game they released only 3 weeks ago. That's called My Fish. Also on the podcast, I have small cap commentator Doc Holliday. He talks about the following stocks: EVRH Holdings, PCG Entertainment, and Tullow Energy. Plus, of course, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. And I've got to say, MySquare is on there already. So very exciting there. And of course, today's one for your watch list is suggested by Neil, and it's Valix. Ticker VAL. I'll get to the reasons for that in a few minutes' time.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Eric Shear, CEO of MySquare. That's ticker MYSQ. Eric, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, I know a bit about the story, but I'm sure the people out there who are not aware of what MySquare are all about, and it's an interesting story. So can you give us basically a summary of what you're all about, please, Eric?
Definitely. MySquare is a company, is a growth company that's located and focused in one of the most exciting areas of the world right now, in a specific country, Myanmar, within Southeast Asia. And MySquare focuses in the social media and entertainment area. What's great about this is Myanmar was cut off from the world for many, many years of sanctions. And when those sanctions were removed some years ago, there was just a complete influx of capital and opportunity and growth in the country. So to give you an example, in Myanmar 2 years ago, there were only approximately 2.5 million telephones in the country, hand phones. Now there's over 38 million phones, just 2 years later. It's just an incredible growth that's occurring in the country. And MySquare is sitting right on top of that. Because although the country has a large population, it has over 50 million people, only 5% of those people speak English. The rest of the people speak the local language. So even though with the phones, they have access to the internet, because 80% of these phones being sold are Android handsets. So they have access to the internet, but it's kind of like putting me in the Beijing library. Sure, there's a lot of information, but I don't speak Mandarin, and therefore I can't access it. So what we did at MySquare is we saw the need for the youth to have access to local information, to have games, to have opportunities, to be able to talk to each other in the local language. So MySquare was designed as a platform that would sit on top of all of those 38 million and growing phones and allow the people to communicate back and forth and to chat. And our first app was a local language chat app called MyChat, and it's been extremely effective. And it provides localized content. It provides the ability for them to chat in the local language. So the company itself initially was focused on acquiring users in that market. So the first portion of the company, the first time period, was focused exclusively on gaining users. And MyChat was a great way to do that. So it was a free downloadable app. You can download it from the Google Play Store, as many of the phones in Myanmar are inexpensive Chinese Android phones that can't link into Google. We also made it available through other app stores. There's many third-party app stores in Asia that also allow them to download it for free. What this did is created a tremendous user base at MySquare, which we're now expecting to have in excess of 5 million users across all the different apps by the end of this year. So the focus was to get those users in utilizing the chat app. And then once we had a solid foundation of users, which we now have, we're now layering on various ways to monetize those users. One of which is the gaming, which is what the RNS this morning was related to, was the success of the most recent game we released, MyFish, which we're just extremely pleased with how many, the great uptake of that game and the great interest of the local people in downloading it. So we're seeing tremendous user growth in that area, and that game is already monetizing. So as we'll be releasing games approximately every 2 months, it gives a tremendous opportunity for us to build a continued stream of revenue on that game. And the gaming is just one way that we can monetize that user base, because the same user base can be monetized, you know, a variety of different ways. So what it allows us to do on one is the gaming, but we can also monetize that, for example, through the advertising, which we're now in contracts with Google and with Facebook. So we're now allowing the users to be able to see advertisements from targeted advertisements from various companies. And it's working, again, very effectively. Another way, for example, monetizing the exact same user base is through the opportunity with VoIP phone calls and being able to call back and forth. And sometimes people say, well, we can make a free phone call on some of the other apps. Why would someone pay? But there's still many areas in these countries where there's millions of people, because remember, only 80% of those millions of phones that are being sold are Android-based. The other ones are standard feature phones, which you can't go ahead and do, though. You know, you can't run an app and get a free phone call. So there's a significant amount of monetization opportunities that are there through the VoIP also. So our plan, which we're executing, we're very pleased and quite confident that our plan is on track, as we see by today's RNS and the growth in that user base, or I should say in the growth of the MyFish game, is the ability to go ahead and add on to the same user base various layers of monetization. And we're going to continue to do this. Now, that doesn't mean the user base stops growing. It's continuing to grow, and even at a faster base, because the same user who may, for example, download a game is someone we can also target to, for example, provide VoIP services to, advertisements. It all cross-fertilizes each other. So you get a tremendous critical mass that continues to build, and it's not just linear. It reaches more of a much sharper growth pattern. So we're very pleased with how this is executing, and we're very pleased with where we are on track right now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you only floated, what, just over a year ago, isn't it? I mean, and the numbers you're talking about are, you know, amazing. I mean, and it is an exciting, untapped market, like you said. And I'm just looking at the figures just of this game, the MyFish game, which you only launched into the 2nd of August, already in 500,000 registered users in its first 3 weeks, and generating revenue of, what, $600 to $800 per day, and 44% profit margin. And you say you should achieve between $1,500 to $2,000 per day within 2 months of launch. And of course, you've got the launch of a new game coming out in September, haven't you?
That is correct. We have a new game, Invincible Sword, which will be released in September. And we're expecting, again, all of these games are of a freemium model.
Yeah.
So all of the users can download them for free. And then there's the little bits and level ups that you can do through going ahead and purchasing that. And that's where we monetize.
Okay. And so I assume you, at the moment, you're extremely pleased. Are these exceeding the levels of, you know, numbers that you thought you were going to have?
We are very much, I will say this, we have a extremely adept team at MySquare. When the technology side is led by a former Electronic Arts executive, David Rosalette, and he is the one who is leading the technology side, our CTO. So I will say our gaming people have, our gaming team has excellent expertise in this area, but they were very surprised, even themselves, we expected it to be a tremendous success, but we're pleasantly surprised that it's exceeded our expectations. So we're very pleased with it.
Yeah, and I see, just to put it into perspective, you're a market cap of below 8 million, So you can see the potential here. All right, Eric, that's enough for people to go on, I think, who are new to the story, and we'll hopefully get you back on again soon when you have more news out, when your new game's launched. But for people listening right now who have not got you on their watch list, can you give us sort of three reasons why someone should add MySquare to their watch list, please?
Absolutely. I mean, we are a digital company in just a tremendous growth market in Myanmar. Over 50 million people, 47% of those people are youth, 24 years and younger. We will have by the end of this year a tremendous user base of over 5 million people that we are just beginning to monetize. So that's one reason. So we feel there's tremendous growth opportunity there. Two, if we look now that we have these foundations, there's various ways we can monetize. It's similar to having a whole bunch of property. You can decide to build an office building. You could build condominiums. You could build a hotel. There's various things that you can do on that. And that's what we're doing now. And the third reason is our link up with MyPay on the payment side, which allows us to take advantage of the opportunities in a country where 90% of the people are unbanked. And as a result, they're very open to alternative methods of being able to, alternative ways of being to purchase things and pay for things. And that will be a tremendous opportunity for MySquare. And because of that, I mean, one of the key reasons for that is, again, this huge growth in phones. 2.5 million to over 38 million phones, and 80% of those Android-based. And we're sitting, our platform is sitting right on top of that. So as that grows, we grow with it. So we're very pleased with this, the opportunity we have, and we feel that this is a great opportunity for investors.
Marvelous. Eric, lovely to chat to you, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Small Cap Authority Doc Holliday after his very sumptuous weekend. I saw a couple of pics on social media there. A very nice restaurant you went to, Doc.
Yeah, we had a good weekend. We went to Liverpool to a wedding at the Hard Day's Night Hotel, the Beatles Hotel, and it was a lot of fun.
All right. And is that an expensive hotel, or is it reasonable, or what?
Yeah, it's not the cheapest. I think we could have stayed in the Hilton for the same money, and it was a really sort of a lovely bar, very, very sort of unique in its layout, massive, obviously, Beatles theme, and it was really quite a snazzy, joint. The rooms, though, wasn't happy, just not happy with a deluxe room, paid the extra, just didn't feel like it was deluxe enough. But having said that, when you've had a load of skinful, as they say up north, then who cares? But no, it was really impressive with what was going on. I just was a bit disappointed with what was going on upstairs. But there you go, it was a good weekend.
Yeah, I saw a lovely picture of two ladies' drinks. What were you drinking there? I saw two nice little pictured ladies' drinks there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we went through the menu, basically, on the cocktails. You know, we got there about 3 hours earlier, so we went to a little... It's a great little place, actually. It's a good idea, too. It was sort of a cheese and wine house in Liverpool, so we had about 3 hours to kill, so we went and had a bottle of red wine and tried a load of different cheeses. My good lady's not much of a red wine drinker. I am. So once I'd forced her into that, she then wanted to hit the cocktails. And as I'm not much of a connoisseur, I said, well, we'll start at the top and work our way down. And that we did.
Excellent. Well, it looked nice. Anyway, let's get on to more important things than socialising and enjoying your life. Let's talk about stocks and stocks and shares. What are you looking at today? I see one of the big rises is EVRH Holdings. I got to say, I hold stock in EVRH. It's risen strongly. It's the whole hot virtual reality sector, isn't it? That's and I think this, we all know virtual reality is getting bigger, and it's going to happen. What do you think of EVRH, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been an absolute crackerjack, hasn't it? You know, there's a lot of guys that were talking about it at Penny. I noticed that you and the weekend podcast guys, Steve and Pete, had touched upon that, and a number of other companies for that matter. And I think, you know, it's certainly an interesting story. It's one that is pretty unknown. There was a great deal of trading when it was in its former guise as Armstrong
Ventures,
AVP, and a lot of people were happy to buy it at the equivalent to a couple of pence back then. What we know is that the company has obviously matured somewhat since AVP and has now been rebranded as EVRH, and we're now in a sector that's pretty much unknown. How they roll this out and how they monetize it and how they get these sort of headsets into you know, the everyday home. I don't know how they're going to do that. But the one thing that we do know is there's a lot of sort of interest. And once that interest starts to really start build up a head of steam, the price of these things can go crazy. And we saw this, you know, a year or two back with the same guys were involved with Audio Boom. It went from about 2p to 18p. They've also been involved with Gfinity and a couple of other companies. And they're all sort of doing all right, aren't they? And there's lots of ups and downs, a lot of volatility, but that's in keeping with AIM. And EVRH is up dramatically. And I would say that whilst there's a community of people that are very much au fait with the story, I'm not sure whether it's being completely rolled out yet.
No, well, I think the important thing is that EVRH essentially, which is their app is Melody VR, and if you go on Twitter, that's Melody VR is what they are, and they haven't released their app yet, have they? So when their app comes out, and they're more about the content, the VR, they've got one of the biggest content banks apparently of VR music festivals and all this in the world. So you've got the big guys producing the hardware like Samsung, and then apparently Samsung are giving away those headsets with their new phone. But because what they want is people to watch the content, and that way they'll increase the data being used and all that stuff. So it's more the content, which I think is quite a powerful sign. And the fact that Google, Facebook and all these big players and Samsung are getting into it means there's got to be some traction there. They know it's going to be a big market, hopefully, because if you see one of the big players into it, you think, okay, but there's several big players into this area, and so we know VR is going to be, the potential there is huge. And I think it's one of those things you maybe shouldn't miss out on, or just should try and keep an eye on the stock, because it's like one of those stories you never know where it's going to end,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of figure that the new world that we live in as well today is now, I mean, obviously virtual reality has been something that people have been talking about since the 80s, really, and probably even before. But now, the last sort of few years, when you look at how people are communicating with, Snapchat, you've got FaceTime, and all these other types of ways of interacting, which are, they're quite basic now in comparator to what's in the, ahead of us. But yet, if you think back 5 years, you would have thought you'd be sitting in the back of a taxi going to an investor event, being able to talk to your family on video, as you were when we both travelled over to the Momentous event. So just shows you what a weird and wonderful and mobile world that we live in today. And this very much plays into all of those attributes, doesn't it? And I think the people that have got, if you look at the traction and interest that the likes of FaceTime and the likes have been able to get, I mean, God, you only need a small proportion of that with this, and it really will and potentially could catch on. It is what it is. I guess we'll wait and see. It's certainly an interesting story, and it's doing exceptionally well. I think it's got a lot more to go if it catches on with more people in the market, because I think, as I say, a small community, latched onto it. They've done very well so far. Congratulations to yourself and everybody else who picked that up early. And if it spawns and it keeps on growing and more people catch on to it, then naturally momentum's always 8/10 of the law, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? I always set price alerts on companies, just see what they do. And recently, Hit a couple of times on the lower end was PCGE Entertainment. And where are they at the moment? Are you keeping an eye on these guys or what?
Yeah, I'm obviously keeping an eye on the situation. I think that You know, PCG Entertainment were labelled as the only sort of company listed on AIM with the Chinese theme. That wasn't corrupt, because there's been quite a lot of questionable companies listed over the last few years on the market. Obviously, Richard Polden, not only has he got a legal eagle background, but he's also got a very successful background by the virtue of, you know, serious minerals going from a couple of pence to 50p, and today trade at about £1 billion market cap. So if you, you know, if anybody wants to sort of go back and look at the chairman's background and the type of business that they've done prior to this, you know, they've had a successful background and a successful history. And I think, you know, Martin's business out in China is very much sort of, you know, his experiences in his professional career very much play into the you know, to understanding the Chinese culture. So I think the fact that that these guys is a sort of duo, I've got a pretty decent track record and good understanding of things. Yes, they've got, you know, a few there's always going to be things that crop up, and God, haven't they cropped up for PCG Entertainment? But this is a company that was listed at, you know, £40 million market cap, I think. You know, it came to market, I think, if you look at its loss something like 96% of its value or something to that effect. You know, don't quote me on the exact figure, but it's a ridiculous amount. They've raised money recently. I know the chairman, you know, put in substantial amount himself. I think he and his kin have backed it at this level. As he says, I think in one of the interviews you did with him, he's one of the only people that's ever taken a legal challenge in China and won. So, you know, I don't have a great deal of sort of doubt in the ability of the people involved. Naturally, there's been some circumstances that have cropped up, which have clearly been a big contributor to the market's valuation of the company. But there's a revenue stream there, and it's a revenue stream that's growing. And I think if you start looking at the numbers, where they are today and where they actually forecast on being, assuming that this distraction doesn't completely consume the company and those involved, should they get any type of a light relief here, PCG Entertainment has got the potential to rise dramatically. If this legal case consumes them for too much longer, if they can't find a resolve to it, which I believe, you know, is a belief that the board have got, then, you know, naturally things are going to get pretty rough, and it could be, you know, that the axe that, you know, decapitates the company in the end. But I don't think we're quite at that stage. I think that any type of light relief that comes out in the market is going to really sort of swizz this one around. And yeah, I think at sort of a quarter of a penny, I can see there's a lot of upside potential in that, because I think any relief from the events that they've encountered recently, I think that's going to automatically act as a buoyancy aid. And I'm watching it closely, and I'm hoping that the company can do something with it, because I've got a strong belief in the guys involved.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? It's odd. I mean, another company I own stock in, I don't own stock in PCG, but Tulu Energy dropped last week. Just a couple of big drops, you know, and I had limit orders filled straight away. And straight away, they bounced back, you know? And I'm thinking,
well, you're a bit of an expert with these limit holders, aren't you? It just seems that you keep getting them all the time, don't you?
I know, yeah, and I don't know. Well, the thing is, I use pretty much a percentage system where I'll put them at certain levels or support levels, and often you'll see that they will just bounce. That's why I quite like automating as much as possible, because it'll go down, fill the order sometimes, and it's in an oversold area on a daily basis when that happens, and so sometimes it does rebound, and like 6.2% a day. But this company, like I said, they've got potential, haven't they? Way beyond where it is at the moment.
Huge. It's you know, I've looked at other companies, and I don't want to liken it to the likes of Sound Energy and, you know, companies like that, because naturally they're pursuing different sort of avenues and are at completely different sort of stages, I guess, in the cycle in some respects. And the, you know, the synergies or the, you know, they don't quite resonate enough to use it as a likeliness. But these are talking about a trillion cubic feet of gas. I remember Orphea Energy back in the olden days. They were trading down in the you know, pences. And it was, they were talking about, you know, 3 trillion cubic feet, 10 trillion cubic feet, 50 trillion cubic feet of gas potential. And these sort of numbers, when you look at sound talking about 1 TCF of gas, these have got 3.3 TCF of gas. You know, these have been able to demonstrate and prove that this resource is there. They've been out there, they've drilled it. They've already started to do the testing work that's necessary. And not only have they done that, but they've gone and got an agreement for a power business with the Botswana ministry. So this company have got its gas, and it's also got an agreement to be able to monetize that gas in country. The needs of the Botswanans is well known. It's well known all around this sort of area of Africa where the short on power. I mean, it's an ever growing community and society, and you know, there's a reduction in the amount of power that they can get out there. They're using very old, expensive ways of generating power with diesel, and burning diesel to generate power just isn't the most sort of financially effective way of doing things. So to be able to use this gas infrastructure and be able to get an agreement with the Botswanans way beyond what they expected. They were looking for a 10 megawatt power plant permission. The Botswanans give them a 50. So these guys can not just monetize it, but they can monetize it a whole lot quicker than perhaps people had anticipated. Tony Gilby was involved with Arrow. He was also involved with Sunshine Gas. Both companies were taken out. $1.5 billion, $3 billion, and if you go and look at the webinar he did with Momentum Trading, and I think that's something that anybody interested in Tolu should do, go and watch the webinar with Momentum Trading. Gilby on that particular webinar made a lot of reference to how he valued Tolu as a company against the two companies, Arrow and Sunshine, that he'd been involved with personally. And his words there are really quite revealing. I don't think it's been picked up by many people. That particular platform's quite a new one. I'm not sure that there's been a mass of people go into it yet. There certainly will be. It's been an interesting development for that. But the words that Tony is what's important. The rest of it is by the by, as far as I'm concerned, you know. It's what the likes of Colin Clune said to you and I, which is these guys have got... I've got a bright future ahead of them, and they don't believe that they're going to need any additional funding from the city. So if you want to get on board, you're going to have to buy in the market. And that was a very clear message that both you and I received. And then to listen to something that Tony Gilby said after that, I think again quite revealing. And Tolu Energy, it's got a whole lot of potential. It's all there at its feet. There's a nice little support there, which was the old resistance at 5p. It IPO'd at 6.5, so we're only just back to its IPO price. Got to be legs on this one from here, in my opinion.
Marvellous. Cheers, Doc. Speak soon, fella.
Thank you, mate. Take care.
Okay, here are the top 5 most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at 5, Mercom Capital, MCC. At 4, it's a new entry. I just chatted to its CEO, that's Eric Scheer. It's MySquare, ticker MYSQ. At 3, Mayfair Group, MAYA. At 2, Safeland had some results of the day. And at number 1, doctors chatted about them, and I talked about them on the weekend podcast as well. That's EVRH Holdings, and ticker is EVRH. And if you think virtual reality is going to be big, this is a company worth putting on your watch list, honestly. All right, so talking about one of your watch lists, this has been suggested by a listener to the podcast. His name is Neil. Thank you for getting involved, Neil. Neil suggests Valix, that's V-A-L, should be on your watch list. What does the company do? Cancer Therapeutics. How many shares does the company have in issue? 56 million. Current price and market cap, 7.76 pence, 4.43 million market cap. Let me just check that while I'm at it so I can get it. Let's have a look, because this could have been submitted over the weekend. It's 7.75, 4.58 market cap. So it's pretty much spot on there. What revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? I looked this up. The full year, the revenue was £82,600. A loss before tax of £2.56 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? Now, I did look on their full year results, and as stated there at the end of year, which was it was a while back now, but it was £232,000. I understand on the 7th of July they announced the sale of the use of rights for Finnish-based track technology for 800,000 euros. The figure Neil had for cash, I think, was 2.6 million. So please do your own research on this, find out how much cash they have. But worth doing any company mentioned. Always do your own research, all right? Okay, so here's the three reasons why Neil thinks this company has potential. Number one, VAL-201, the clinical trial phase of 1-2 ending soon. All positive results so far, giving hope prostate cancer patients with zero side effects. Number two, approval given for VAL-401, clinical trial due to start shortly. And three, numerous other products in the pipeline, numerous international patents granted, currently trading at a ridiculously low share price given the potential. So that's VAL ticker, Valix. Worth doing your own research. Neil suggests you put it on your watch list. So have a read up and tell me what you think. And by all means, you know, get involved here on the podcast. This feature, you know, relies on you. If you know of a stock that you think we should put on our watch list, please click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And you'll just click on my blogs there. You'll see the link there. And it's a form to fill in. It takes 5 minutes. And I could be featuring it on a future podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.